In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Christos voskrese. Brothers and sisters, today we have the conversation of Christ with the soul. And that's how the church sees the encounter of the Samaritan woman, nameless in this gospel, but we know who she is, right? St. Fontenay, Celana, equal to the apostles. The church sees this encounter with this woman as the encounter of Christ with the soul. So, if we look at this woman's, Fontenay's, character, we can see how we should behave. It's very important to look and see what kind of woman she was, how she reacted to the Lord, what the Lord taught her, and the order in which He taught her things. Because that's what's happening to us now. Her conversation with Him is in microcosm, the Lord's conversation with us, all of our life. Now there's much in this encounter that is very complex and very important. But let's get down to what's really important. What's really important is the way this woman reacted to what the Lord told her. She was a Samaritan. She had some beliefs that were correct and some that were incorrect. She was not quite a Jew, although she thought herself as a Jew. And she had a mixture of beliefs, some true and also some pagan. And she was in a predicament, because she wasn't doing too well, was she? She was had five husbands, and now she was living with a man. And certainly, all of Samaria wouldn't have appreciated what she was doing. That's why she was going to the well so late in the day, when it's hot outside. Everybody else is home taking a rest, but she went to get water at the time when it was most inconvenient and most uncomfortable. So the Lord comes to her and He asks her for something to drink. And they have a conversation, and then He says that if you knew who I am, you would ask of me and I would give you living water. He says that whoever drinks of this water, the well, will thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But that water that I shall give him will be a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Now this is now basically a perfect stranger talking to a woman. There were social mores that were being broken by this conversation. A man talking to a woman in the middle of the day, a Jew talking to a Samaritan. Not only that, but then a Jew telling a Samaritan something that seems fantastic, water that you can have and never be thirsty again. Of course, the Lord is referring to the Holy Spirit springing up within us. So the woman answers in a carnal way. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. The Lord knows that she's thinking in terms of, I'm tired of getting water and thirsting. And here's what Jesus said. He didn't correct her about this, but He immediately made a tie to morality. This tie is there in all of the Gospels, in every page of Scripture, if you look carefully enough. The world nowadays wants to break this tie, but it's there. If we are to know God, we have to live like He lived. And our Lord gave us the example of how to live. So there is no way around it. We have to live in a moral way. So the Lord points out to her one of her most obvious, glaring sins. Now, not her worst sins. The worst sins are of pride and of jealousy and of anger and of not loving others. But He points out something that's quite obvious and that certainly was on her mind, because that's why she was at the well at that late hour of the day. he says to her, go call thy husband. And of course she has no husband. She has had five husbands and now she's living with a man. So she says, I have no husband. And the Lord makes it directly clear to her that he knows what she's doing. And he says, you spoke truly, you don't have a husband, you've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. So he exposes her sin. A perfect stranger exposing her sin. And so what does she do? She says, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Something in her heart was changing then. Because of the way the Lord spoke. Remember, he didn't speak like you and I do. He spoke as no other man spoke. So when people heard him speak, they either were attracted to him or repulsed by him. But they weren't neutral. And this woman, hearing this rebuke of her immoral life, was attracted to him. I can imagine, and I hope you can too, that there was something in her heart that just turned a little bit, felt a little warm, and felt a little hope. Because she had a difficult life. There's no doubt that she had a very hard life. But there must have been some hope in her. The Lord had tied this idea of living water, the Holy Spirit, to a moral way of living. And because the woman reacted as she did, he continued to teach her. She said, he's a prophet. That's true. But he's more than a prophet. So he began to tell her about worship and about true worship, that we worship in spirit and in truth. He made a prophecy that Jerusalem and Samaria would be destroyed, and they would not long after that. But what's really important is he told her that we must worship in spirit and in truth. You know how that is? By seeing the internal spiritual reality to things and not the external physical appearance of things. Our passions deal in the external. Someone does something and we judge them for it because of what we see them doing. And we judge their motives. And yet we don't know what their motives are. Because we can't see inside. And we live life in a very external, carnal way. We're concerned about how much money we have and how much time for vacation and about various entertainments and about taking our ease and getting relaxation. They're all external things. The Lord says we must worship Him in spirit and truth. And He's teaching someone who's ready to learn, who is hearing these things for the first time. She is an adherent of a religion that has many harsh things that you must do. Rules and regulations to follow. But the Lord is not speaking of rules and regulations here. The Lord is speaking of the Holy Spirit being within us and springing up to us, up from us in eternal life. And where there is the Spirit, there is liberty. And there is no need for law when there is obedience. The Lord is telling us how we should worship. And we must ask ourselves, do we worship in this way? Or are we external people, carnal people? And also, when the Lord reveals to us our sins, first of all, do we even notice it? Do we even see what our sins are? And second of all, do we react as the woman? Do we sit forward on our chair wanting to hear more? Do we desire to hear from the Lord everything about ourselves and about Him and change whatever it is that is dark so that it becomes light? This woman did. And so, he speaks to her deep theology that we really don't have time to completely go into now. But the reason why he could say these things to her is because she was ready to listen. Because she was not full of pride when a strange man called her on her immoral way of living. Something changed in her heart when she heard him. This is really a holy moment we are witnessing, brothers and sisters. And this holy moment should happen with us daily. When the Lord speaks to us gently but firmly about things we do and things we do not do, about attitudes we have, ways of living that are good or that are bad, we have to listen to Him. And so what did this woman do after she heard this exalted theology of worshiping in spirit and in truth? She left her water pot. She went into the city. This is very, very significant. She came to the well to get water. A very common thing. And she left not fulfilling her task because she was with the one who would give her living water. That water pot signifies attachment to the world. She left her attachments to the world and she went into town and she humiliated herself because she said to people, "Come see a man who has told me everything I've ever done." Now their conversation was probably a good bit longer than what is detailed in the gospel. And so the Lord must have told her other things. Now, if the woman had said to someone, "Come see a man that told me all the things I've done," the natural question would be, "What things?" So she humiliated herself for the sake of her people. Because even though she was a pariah among her people, she loved them. And so she became what we call equal to the apostles because she spread the gospel to them. And these people came to Jesus and listened to him and believed him. Unlike many of the Jews that listened to him and hated him, they begged him to stay and he taught them for 2 days. And many of them became followers of him. What are we to learn from this story? The most important thing is how we are to react when God speaks to us. Because He does all the time. Now, if you don't hear Him speaking to you, you've got a problem. That means that you are dull of hearing. That means that the worldly things in your life are drowning out His speaking to you. And by the way, He does not shout. He whispers. You know the story about St. Elias? After the prophets of Baal were killed and he became afraid and he fled from Jezebel because he knew she wanted to kill him. And then he was fed by a raven and went 40 days to Mount Horeb on the strength of that food. And then he was by a cave and there was an earthquake. And there was a flood, and there was a fire, and the Lord was not in any of those great things. And then there was a still, small voice. And Elias covered his head with his mantle, because God was in that voice. That is how we must be. We have to be still to hear His voice. We have to get rid of worldly things. And we have to be willing, when we hear His voice, to act upon His voice, as this woman did. Not to be proud. Now, sometimes His voice comes through the inner voice of the Holy Spirit in us. But other times His voice comes from someone correcting us. Or from some situation in life humiliating us. If we are to be great, like St. Fontenay was great. And we are all called to be great. We are all called to perfection, which is greatness. Then we must be willing to listen and be willing to be corrected. That's the most important thing from this story. There's deep and wonderful, complex dogmatic theology in this story. But none of it is of any good to anybody who doesn't listen. So brothers and sisters, try to listen to God. Now there are practical things you can do. When I was much younger, sometimes I wondered, what can I do? You know, I'm dull. I don't know myself. I don't even know all my sins. How can I find them out? Well, there are still sins, I'm sure, that I do not know. But many I have learned about because I've stuck around. Remember Thomas? He said he wouldn't believe in the Lord being resurrected because he didn't see him on the day of his resurrection. But what did he do? He didn't leave. He stuck around. And he was willing to be corrected. And so when the Lord came, he believed. So it must be with us. Stick around. How do you do this? If you don't pray much, you must start praying more. Start praying with some fervor. The prayers in the prayer book are very good for this because they have a depth of spirit, a yearning for God, and a knowledge of self that you need to have. Read the Gospels with expectation. Come to church with expectation. Not just the liturgy. The liturgy is for the worship of God and for the receiving of the Eucharist. But also to the other services which teach us the spirit we must have. If you want to learn about how to listen to God, come to the Vespers and especially the Matin service. Those are some things that you can do. There are many others as well. But those are some of the things that you can do. So if you don't hear God every day in your life, you should. It is normal for a Christian to hear God every day. I'm not speaking of a voice from heaven now. I'm speaking that of conviction in your heart, that you just know things because God has revealed them to you. And generally they're about yourself. They're very rarely about anything else. We need to fix ourselves before we can fix anything else. So brothers and sisters, let us be like this woman, St. Fotini, Svetlana, equal to the apostles. Let's listen to God. May God help you. Amen.